Thank you for the introduction, Christy. And I'm excited to share with you this morning. I was able 3 years ago to share with the moms at North Campus. So it's good to look back over what I shared then and how God has supplied, answered prayers, and how even distance makes it easier some aspects of our story to share. I guess first of all, as an icebreaker a little bit, I kind of want to take a survey of the room, so I'm going to ask a couple questions, and I'd like you to answer them by raising your hand affirmatively. The first question is, have you ever lived or ever visited outside of the U.S.? Okay, very good. Do any of you speak a second language? Very good. Let's see. Have you ever stayed outside of the U.S. for over a week? Okay. Very good. I like to get a lay of the land. Help me know my audience a little bit better. And so that is just the blessing of God and cultures that he's given us. Our family likes the story of the Tower of Babel because that's where God gave us all these languages, all these cultures, and helps us to see different aspects of God by all these cultures and languages coming together. A little bit of my background and testimony. I grew up in a Christian family in a home. I grew up here in Minnesota, even though now, I mean, yes, it's my home, but it's not my home. And I became a Christian at a young age. God worked in my life and my heart. And my father was in Christian ministry. He was a Christian school principal, so I'm somewhat of a ministry kid, but a different aspect. And that helped me in many ways to prepare me and grow me for being on the mission field. Of course, at that time in my life, I didn't realize that. But now looking back, I can see that God used that in my life, of maybe not being with the in-group, but being on the outside just because I had a label on me because of who my father was. When I was in elementary school, that was okay. It didn't bother me at all, except for my fifth grade year. That was really hard, but that was the end of my dad's time at that school. I was homeschooled during middle school, and then in high school, I was back in another Christian school that my father was administrating. So it was in high school that God gave me a real love and a desire and an interest in the nations, in people of other countries. Back in the day, the church that I went to, they did slideshows, the missionaries did. I'm sure some of you don't know what that is, but some do. And I always loved the slideshows, no matter what country it was. I thought it was adventurous to hear about their stories. Yes, they had struggles, but it was always interesting to me. And God allowed me in high school to go on 2 short-term mission trips, one to Mexico and one to Barbados, and that was just a great time of learning and seeing God working in the nations through the missionaries that God had there. And my parents were always had an open door. I remember having a couple that served in Africa over to our house for a Sunday lunch, and I was just thrilled with that. I'm very interested. So God really placed that in my heart. It was nothing to do with me. I was born in a small town in northern Minnesota. A small town on your way to Duluth if you're ever on 35. It's still unincorporated, probably. When we first came back 3 years ago, I was able to drive my husband up there and my 3 boys, and they could see a little glimpse of where Mom grew up. So it was a question I had heard often when I was in France. How on earth did you end up here? You know, where are you from? And I'd say, well, a small town in Minnesota. And it was my language teacher at the time. She just couldn't believe that. How would you get here? But then I was able to witness to her and say, it was God that brought me here. It's nothing in myself that brought me here. And that's the whole story of where God has brought us to. It's God, what he's done in us. It's nothing in ourselves. And that's why even the verse, the theme for this year of abiding in Christ, that yes, he is the vine and that all of this is only possible because of him and abiding in him. After college, I was able to go serve with a family in Chile, South America for a year. I helped them in the schooling of their children. And I was in the Spanish language. I had studied some in college, Spanish, so I was familiar with that. But then at that time, I had also started, before that, my relationship with my now husband, and I was corresponding with him, and he is from France. So I was in a Spanish-speaking country, and the first time I heard French on cassette tapes, so yes, now I'm dating myself again, I had received cassette tapes from a missionary kid who was moving, and it was French, and I was listening to it in a Spanish-speaking country and saying, how on earth would this ever work? There's no way, you know, how could I ever speak French or be interested in it? But of course, God does wondrous things, and he helped me to learn the language. At the beginning when I was learning French, my mother was always correcting me and saying my French had a Spanish accent. But it worked its way out. And Spanish is somewhere in my brain, maybe. If we hear or listening to a soccer game and it's a Spanish commentator, I can understand some stuff. And if I was in the country, I think I could too. Because it's a Latin-based language, it's very similar to French. So when I was first learning French, it was easier to read it. It was easy to read the language. So God did a work in me, and my husband and I were married in 98. And yes, it's hard to believe that this coming December, it'll already be 20 years. I don't know where the years went. And I was calculating how many different places we've lived since we've been married, and it's 21 different places here in the U.S. and overseas. The longest we've lived in one house was 4 years when we were in the Netherlands. That was the longest time we've ever been in one spot. And so we understand moving. So moving into this new building was exciting for my boys because they're used to it. They like it, and they've missed it now that we've been back. No. So we're used to that. God's helped us to live simply because we've moved so often. So we're not attached to furniture because we leave it in one spot and go check out IKEA at the new spot. And that's kind of in all. We know in three different countries where the IKEA store is located. We know where it is in Paris. We know where it is in the Netherlands. And we know where it is here. So that's kind of a weird link between those three countries. But so in some ways, it's maybe home just because of the familiarness. And with our family, too. Airports for us, they're a great place, but also a sad place for us at the same time. We know it's a place where we can go and see loved ones and friends, but then we know it's also a place we have to say goodbye to friends and loved ones. So it's always had that positive-negative effect for our family. Some other little tidbits about our third culture family. I don't know if you've ever heard that term before. It's usually to children, third culture kids. But I think for us, because we do have a cross-cultural marriage, it's also for our family. So it means that a good illustration I saw once, example, is your home country, so say Minnesota or the United States, is kind of your round hole. And then the culture, the country you go to, is the rectangular hole. And then you, as a family, you are the square peg. And you don't fit in either one of those places. You end up making your own third culture in between. So that's our family. Yes, we're here in America, and we take those things of America. But yet, we're still very much French, Dutch mix. My middle son wore a French jersey today. I'm wearing orange for the Netherlands today. My heart is partially in France today, where my husband is. So we're always in between. And living that life of in between makes heaven so much more precious and so much more real. And that's the day when it can really put roots down and I don't have to count the years of how long I've been in one spot. So God, God's worked in our family. He brought us to, before we had children, when we were first married, we lived in France for about 3 years, and that's where God led us into the ministry with Trans World Radio. My husband had volunteered as a high schooler with a man that was in his church, helping in corresponding with radio listeners from North Africa. So he already knew Trans World Radio. And God just happened, as God does, in his providence, to need Malik to go to a meeting for this man in the Netherlands. This man didn't speak English, and the meeting was going to be in English. So Malik said, sure, I'll go to this meeting. And that's where God got the ball rolling for us to become part of Trans World Radio and to join their ministry. So when we first started out on our journey in missions, Malik was going to be an assistant to the director of Europe and North Africa. Of course, that changed once we got to the field, and before we even got to the field, that changed. But God knows what he's doing. So our years there, we have fond memories, but we also have hard memories too. But that's life, right? You have the good and you have the hard. So as we abide in Christ, he has times in our lives that are times of pruning and of forming us and shaping us into his image. So when we our first year in the Netherlands, we were in a staff house that the man we were supposed to be assisting had to go back to the U.S., and so we ended up moving into their home. And then after the first year, we were in another home that we stayed in for the 4 years we were there. So going back through, I guess one of the pruning times for me was when, in that first year, Malik was traveling. He was off at a conference, I believe, in Vienna. And I was about maybe 8 weeks pregnant and had a miscarriage while he was gone. And that was a very difficult time. It was over the phone that I was telling my husband about this. And but it was his strength, his grace, his power that helped me to be a balm to these two little boys while their dad was gone. And he sustained me. He was my rock, my anchor during that time. I couldn't have gotten through that without him, without his power. And it took me a while to feel whole again. And I don't know what the time, how much time was between that, maybe 8 months, and then we were pregnant with Silas, our third. So God gave us another child to fill that hole, to heal that wound. But I remember just being numb for a week after that happened, and my Malik finally came home and able to talk about it, and God just healed and helped us through that time. And I wasn't able, because we were overseas, I didn't share it with my mom right away, because for me, I prefer doing things face-to-face, which is kind of hard when you're overseas. So our first home assignment is when I finally was able to share it with my mom, because I hadn't before then. I didn't want to do it over Skype. I didn't want to do it in an email. So yes, technology is good, but there's never nothing like face-to-face. we came back on our second home assignment, and God was doing a work in us. We didn't want to settle where God had placed us, and doors were opening for different ministry opportunities for Malik. He had done a program with Berbers in Algeria of theological teaching, and it had been recorded on video, so it was a satellite program, and it was a radio program, and he had done that with Trans World Radio. But he wanted to continue. He had more dream and vision that God had given him. But with TWR, we felt we couldn't, because they were very much still in the radio stage. So God brought us back, and we were praying and seeking his face. So for the first 2 years while we were here, it was a very uncertain time. Everything was up in the air. We had no idea what God was doing, where he was leading us. And finally, we said, okay, we'll be done with TWR and we'll go on to CRU, Campus Crusade. We knew a lot of, in Europe, CRU is called Agape, and we knew a lot of people in Europe. We had worked with them, done partnerships with them, so we are already familiar with that side of CRU, not as much the campus or the U.S. side. So God's put us now into the global part of CRU. So we don't work on campuses. We're working with global outreach and ministry, but in leadership development. So we have a series of studies that we do. When we find Christian men, businessmen in a country, we use that, take that study, and we go through that study, that group of men, like a small group. And then they have special events to invite other businessmen they know who are not believers to those events. And then, Lord willing, plant the seed and just work in them. A colleague of ours in Africa, it's been very successful. He's done that with higher government officials. He's been able to do this study and see, get the gospel into their lives. And so that's what God's led us to now. And also the digital aspect is my husband helps get these curriculums onto the website so that they're more accessible all over the world. Let's see, I guess a few other things from our time when we lived in the Netherlands is my youngest was born in the Netherlands, so we call him our little Dutch boy. When he was younger, when we first came back, he wasn't happy with that. It'd kind of get him riled up, but now he's older and he's fine with that. He likes it. He puts on his little Dutch jersey if we're watching a soccer game, and they were happy the other day when the Netherlands beat Germany in soccer. Soccer is big at our house. American football, mm-mm. Soccer, yes. and it's fun with soccer because then you see all the different countries of the world. So we know the flags of lots of countries. We know where those countries are. We were watching one game, and the boys, we of course have a map on our wall, and the boys were asking us about, I just happened to say, I don't remember who was playing, oh, I know somebody that lives in that country. So then my middle son, Matthias, he went up to the map and said, so how about this country or this country? And both Malik and I were able to say yes. So pretty much all of Europe, North America, South America. When he got into the Middle East, Central Asia, it was a little harder. But it was fun. I mean, it was neat to see that God has friends and people we know from all over the world, all over the globe. And that's a gift that God has also given my husband. Because he's very multicultural, he is able to help cultures understand themselves, to be a mediator. When we worked with Trans World Radio, we HR in Europe, we had a German man that was doing HR there, and then but he'd have to try to communicate with America HR. So my husband many times was able to help them to understand each other because they didn't. They were on different wavelengths. And even now, that helps as many countries, many different people come together and work together. Let's see. I guess another thing that came up a few weeks ago, showing that we are, even though we are living here in America, our minds and hearts oftentimes are in other countries. My boys were telling each other about a dream they had that night, and my oldest said, yeah, I had a dream. And when he was telling his younger brothers about the dream, and the dream was like in five different countries. And I'm like, what? So God has given them a heart for that and for other cultures. So now we've been with CRU for 3 years. It's a big organization, so we're still learning a lot. We don't know many people in the campus area. We know people in the leadership and global area. For now, God has us here. When we first made that decision to stay here, I wasn't happy. I was frustrated and discouraged and wanted to go. So I'm still willing to go when God opens that door. And he's given me contentment in being here right now. And he gives me peace about it, even though when my husband goes on trips over to Europe and North Africa, I want to go with him, but I can't. This trip, he left on Wednesday. He'll be back Monday He left Wednesday last week. He'll be back this coming Monday on the 22nd. He'll be in three different countries. He was in Poland. He's been in the Netherlands. Now he's having a little respite with his mom in France, which I'm glad he has in there. And then he'll be going to North Africa this weekend. And pray for that trip in North Africa. He's going to be meeting with men there that want to start a leader impact group, a small group, but who have no church. So this is really important for them to fellowship. The stories that Malik tells of how God is meeting them there without really having the scriptures in their own language, if they speak a dialect other than Arabic, and not having a fellowship. So these men really need the fellowship. And pray for their protection also, because they're in a country where it's predominantly Muslim. But God's opened this door. So also giving Malik wisdom of how to go back in there and to continue to help these men that need it. And then in Poland also, he met a lot of people from Eastern Europe that want a businessman there that wants to start up a group, a small group, with other businessmen. So they started out, like I said, among Christian men, and then they reach out to unsaved businessmen that they see, that they know in their circle of influence. And sometimes that can go up into the government, and then the gospel influences those people, and then it can trickle down to others and change the society and the culture, Lord willing. And then his meetings that he had in the Netherlands was helping to get the last approvals of the small group study onto a website so that it would be more accessible for more people. Blessings. Yeah, I guess from 3 years ago that God gave us confirmation that he wanted us to change and go with Crew. When we were first thinking about changing missions, we looked at Crew, but we're like, no, let's not. No, let's not even bother. So we, tried to go another direction, but God kept closing that door. And he opened it up and led us to there. So feeling settled, and this is where God wants us to be, even though at times it is still hard. That God supplies our family's daily needs, because we live from the gifts of other people. That's our salary. So it's kind of like we're self-employed, and we have to ask individuals and churches to meet our needs. And for my husband, who grew up in a different culture, he's not used to that, so it's really hard for him. I was doing that in high school, asking people in your church for help, so I'm more familiar and comfortable with it. But that he supplies our needs. When we trust him, when we give those that to him, he supplies the needs. And that's an ongoing part of our ministry. We never have a day off of either corresponding with those who already support us or trying to find new ones, new people, to join the team and to join the work that God is doing. Because it's not our work. It's God's work that he's allowed us to come alongside him and help him with. And those who are senders here, being a sender is very important. It's a good thing. And God smiles upon it. And how you can be a good sender is asking questions of global partners when they're in town. Even when they're not, sending them emails, sending them notes. That's always so encouraging. To get an email saying, I'm praying for you. We had the Global Partner Flip Calendar. If you didn't get one for this past year, they're going to start a new one in October, the end of October. Grab one. It has the fighter verse on it, and then it shows all of the missionaries. And it's a great thing, family devotions, to pray for that. If you see there's kids on the photo in that family, send them an email. Say, hey, I'm praying for your kids. My boys were always so excited when they knew people were thinking about them at home. I know at North Campus in downtown, they adopted them a couple years. And so the Sunday school class sent out cards with a little activity for the boys in it. And they loved that. Our Barnabas team, if you're not part of a Barnabas team, that's something you can look up. They always need new people. Karen Livingston has information about that, who needs more people on their Barnabas team. But that's also a great way to get plugged in to be a great sender. And just to send them special packages. We got a Christmas box. Since we've been back, we've had one year, one of our supporting churches, they send us a Christmas box every year, but they sent it to the Netherlands office, even though we were here, so we got it in like February. But that communication's worked out now. But yeah, any little thing, you might think, oh, it doesn't matter. If God puts that missionary wife, her name or her face in your head, God wants you to send a message to her. To encourage her, because you don't know what she's going through that day. Because it's the prayers of those at home that sustain you on the field. And you can feel the prayers. Because oftentimes it can be lonely. Yes, you may have kids all around you, or ministry people all around you, but it can still be lonely. One of the biggest things I missed when we were first over was Bethlehem worship time in church. Not being able to worship in your mother tongue. And worshiping in a different language. We were in a bilingual church, Dutch English, so we were able to have it, but it's still not the same style. Our church in the Netherlands was a very small church. It was, very small, let's see, maybe 50 people. But they had an outreach to international students that came for 6 months from Africa, and so it was a great ministry to minister to those students. Pray for that church right now. Their pastor just died this weekend, very unexpectedly. Pray for his wife, Corey Mishu, and we're not sure what the fellowship will do now, if they'll try to find another pastor or not. But that was the church that my boys grew up in, where we dedicated Silas. Nobody had ever done that in their church before, so it was a real testimony to the families there. So we read through what they do on baby dedication here. We read through that there in the church, and the pastor was fine with it. And, we had a lot of people come up to us after that saying, wow, what a testimony to see how God can work in your family and through you. Every mission field is different. Ours was different in the fact that Malik was traveling a lot. He was gone when we lived in the Netherlands. The boys and I knew more about the Netherlands than Malik did. He traveled every single month, and it was 10 days at the least that he was gone when he traveled. And it was mainly in Europe where he was traveling. I guess blessings for his provision, for his strength when Malik's gone on a trip. Just God's anointing on me and giving me strength. And helping me to keep the boys, going in the routine and the rhythm that we have. That I can be part of a global church. The work that God's doing all over the world, it's huge. And a lot of times we only get little glimpses of what he's doing. And but that's a blessing to see what he's doing. And he's doing so much more than we can even see or even know about in places like Iran, in China, even in Algeria, where predominantly Muslim, but now they have a recognized evangelical church there that the government has recognized because they see that Christians are helping out their society and their country. I guess that's all for now. I hope I made some sense and hit everything. If you have questions, feel free to ask them. And we're thankful to be here at Bethlehem right now, even though our hearts are always kind of divided, but we are thankful for being here.